Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Second Take. Today, we are recording the morning after the insane Nuggets-Lakers game. The Lakers were almost able to pull that off in Denver against the Nuggets in Game 2, but they fell short to a Jamal Murray step-back buzzer beater over Anthony Davis, extending their losing streak against Nuggets to 10 games. And they are now down 2-0 in that series. Roland, what are your thoughts on this game? And can the Lakers actually do anything to stop this losing streak against the Nuggets?
I don't know. This game had the perfect storm for them to be able to actually pull it off, to go back to LA, tied 1-1, and make this thing a legit series. Murray kind of struggled until the last 2 minutes of the game, right? He wasn't playing super well until he got that foul call, really, on LeBron James for having a hand on his hip. From that moment, he just kind of took over the last three, four possessions of the game, and it was over. But you had an excellent game from Russell, making seven or eight threes. I honestly can't remember, but he was knocking down threes, which was the big stat line coming into tonight, is D'Angelo Russell can't shoot against the Nuggets. Put that to bed. LeBron dominated the end of the stretch for the Lakers. Anthony Davis didn't play awful, my opinion. Jokic did what Jokic does, which is, what are you going to do about that? But I thought they had it. So I don't have an answer for what LA needs to do to actually beat Denver. What do you think, man? I have no idea. That's that game. They had a 20-point lead. Russell was shooting well. LeBron was doing well. And Murray wasn't playing well. If you told me that, LA wins, right? I guess not.
It's got to be one of the worst feelings for the Lakers, because if we're being honest here, Denver didn't even play their best basketball game. And the Lakers still couldn't beat them. Like you said, Jamal Murray was awful until the very end of the game, right? The Nuggets are used to having playoff Jamal Murray, this guy who comes in, he makes big shots, he plays way better in the playoffs. He sucked all game until the very end. And to be honest, it looks like the Lakers just ran out of gas at the end of the game, because, you know, D'Lo got off to a great start. Anthony Davis got off to a great start. They were all playing well for almost the entire game. Austin Reeves had some big makes in that game. And then at the end of the game, it kind of became LeBron's show. And he was the one who was keeping them afloat with some of his threes. Got a poster dunk at the end of the game to take the lead. Like, he was doing some stuff out there. And it wasn't enough, because he was the only one who was doing it for them. And the Lakers have to play a perfect game to beat the Nuggets. The Nuggets don't have to play a perfect game to win, as we've seen. And they're the team that, when they go down by 20, you know they're not out of the game, because the Nuggets do this from time to time. They fall behind and they come back and they beat teams. So you really just have to play perfect to beat Denver. And the Lakers let their foot off the gas a little bit. They got a little bit tired. And this is what happens when you do that. You just can't do that against the Nuggets.
Yeah, I mean, props to the Nuggets for getting their crap together and making this comeback. It's mind-boggling, because in both games of the series so far, they've had a double-digit lead, which we know nowadays honestly doesn't matter as much as it used to, with three-point shooting being so heavily skewing runs. And a 16-point lead is what a 7-point lead used to be. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, you have two games in which you're leading by double digits in the second half, and you can't win one of them. You know what I mean? I don't know if the Lakers can figure anything out. The series kind of looks over, even though the games have been fun to watch. I don't think LA has a realistic chance now. That was their shot. That was their moment to make this thing interesting, and it kind of passed by them. So I don't really, I think this series is over. You can't lose a game like that and have the willpower to try again. You know what I mean? It's deflating. You not only blew a 20-point lead, you lost on a game winner. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah. I think the other two games will still be competitive. Just looking at these two teams' history, but man, it's going to be hard for the Lakers. They really need something to get back into this, but how much better can it get for them than it started last night? I mean, usually the Nuggets just make a D'Angelo Russell play hero ball, and it works for them because he is more than willing to take those shots that they give him all the time, right? Like, that's just kind of what they do. He finally hit shots. That was like his best game against Denver in the last 2 years. I don't know if you're going to get another game at least that good from Russell. Hopefully for the Lakers' sake, he's at least somewhere in that range of being better and not just complete crap against Nuggets. But, they're making LeBron use a lot of his energy.
Yeah,
to keep the team in the game, which is going to wear on him eventually. You know, he is 39, playing all these minutes, leading his team. No one's ever really had to do that before. And it also doesn't help when the Nuggets get really good games from their role players. Like Christian Braun, I thought Brown had a ton of energy in that fourth quarter to start. He came up with a lot of big plays. He had a really good game. And the Nuggets are getting their role players like that to play well. It's a scary thing because Jokic and Murray, as we saw, Jokic didn't score from the second quarter to maybe the end of the third quarter. He had this long stretch.
Second or third quarter, yeah.
Yeah, he had this long stretch, and then he just started just getting buckets in the fourth quarter. And, you know, him and Murray weren't scoring for almost the whole game, and that's probably why they were down 20. I just don't see that happening again. Like you said, I think the series is over for the Lakers already.
Does the series get back to Denver? Is it going to be a sweep? Do you think LA can get one?
Nah, I'm going with a sweep, kind of like conference finals last year. I don't think they're going to get killed, but it'll be a competitive sweep.
It's crazy to me, man. I feel like they're pretty evenly matched in the fact that the games are going to be close. They're going to be competitive. Denver just always wins. So I kind of am in agreement with you. If LA is going to win a game, it's going to be game three. But I think this thing's over. It's a sweep. The real question is what's going to happen in the offseason for LA, but we'll get there when that actually ends up happening. So, valiant
exactly.
Valiant effort on part of the LA Lakers, you know, big three. I don't know. LeBron and AD played very well. LeBron played his heart out, and Russell played very well. Valiant effort, just let it slip by. It's just crazy.
Exactly. And then one other series that I wanted to bring up and talk about so far was the Cavs and the Magic. It was one of those series where I was saying the first team to 100 points is probably going to win.
And beat that. Yeah.
I know for real. The Cavs had 96 points last night and they still killed the Magic. And if anything, the playoffs expose your biggest weaknesses for individual players or for teams. And the Orlando Magic are currently figuring that out the hard way. In that last game and their loss to Cleveland, they shot 9 of 35 from 3, which is 25% shooting. They're playing a bunch of non-shooters, and Cleveland is leaving a lot of their non-shooters and doubling down on Paolo Banchero, on Franz Wagner, on these guys when they're trying to stay in the paint, and they're just letting their guys shoot, especially the Orlando bigs. They're just letting them shoot threes, and Orlando can't do anything about this. I mean, What are your thoughts kind of so far on what can Orlando do to get themselves back into the series or maybe just score some more points? Because the roster is what it is right now.
Yeah, I mean, they can't really make any moves there. I'm not sure. Maybe you play some of the guards a little bit more minutes. That's really the only thing I can think of. Not that they're amazing shooters, but Suggs, Anthony, Black, Cole Anthony and Anthony Black. I know that might be confusing, but you probably need to lean a little bit more on those players offensively if you want to have a chance to score. Because right now they're not even getting past 85. But that's really the only thing off the top of my head that I can think of for Orlando to kind of spark a little bit more energy on the offense, because what they're doing is not working.
Yeah, I mean, and just looking at them, so like the Magic definitely need to at least move their non-shooters around when Paolo Banchero is in isolation, because there were times I saw in that game George Niang was guarding Paolo Banchero, right? You would figure that would be food, yeah, right? But the problem is Cleveland is bringing in all their players, so yeah, Paolo can't go anywhere. But then the Orlando Magic players are just standing stagnant outside the three-point line, and they're not moving or doing anything. So it's like Paolo can't really do much unless he just does a little step-back midi over, you know, contested hands. So, I mean, Orlando's definitely got to move guys around a little better because they can't attack mismatches right now, no matter where it is on the floor. And kind of like I said, too, they only gave up 96 points, and their record when they had given up less than 100 points was like 20-2 or something like that. But they're losing by double digits, giving up 96 points. Like, the offense has just been bad. And, I mean, really the only, like, legit shooters they have would be like Gary Harris or Joe Ingles, which would just kind of tough to play more than 15 minutes a game right now at this stage in his career, like in a playoff game. But both of those guys might need to get more minutes just to have, just to have the threat of a shooter. And it's too bad they couldn't get like some of their younger prospects more minutes in the regular season, like Jet Howard or Caleb Houston, who are both like supposed shooters, but neither of them really played that much and they're super young, so I wouldn't just trust them to go throw them out there in the playoffs. So like the only schematic thing I could really think of, besides, you know, maybe Harris and Ingles more minutes, would be Orlando putting Paolo at the five and just playing more small guys on the court. Kind of like you said, give the guards more minutes, and they can maybe play faster so they can score. But like, like your weaknesses get exposed in the playoffs. Teams do not care. And that's just kind of what's happening to Orlando right now.
No, it's true. I mean, they cannot shoot to save their life. I, like you said, they need to throw a wrinkle in this or it's over in four. So get Ingles out there. You know what I mean? Like, if that's
old
what,
man
if
Joe,
that's what it takes, at least see what you've got. Mm-hmm. You got to do it, because the spacing is the issue. In today's NBA, spacing is the number one most important thing on offense. And they don't have any of it. So if it's either they do what we're kind of explaining, get your shooters out there more minutes, or just be happy that you made it to the playoffs.
I know. I mean, Orlando should be happy. Oh, yeah. I think they overachieved. Okay. And if anything, we're realizing they didn't think their roster was as good as they were, looking back at kind of this construction and stuff, because this team was not playoff ready, just because they need some more offense. But that can be addressed for them in the offseason. I just, you know, we've seen teams will be stubborn with their game plans, just like in the Knicks Sixers series. Philly's gonna leave Josh Hart open for threes, and they don't care how many he makes, because they think he's gonna miss more than he makes, and that's just what teams are gonna do. And You know, some usually that works for the for teams. Sometimes it absolutely bites you when Terrence Mann goes off for 39. But you know, stuff like that happens. Anything else in the playoffs you want to bring up so far?
No, not that we've already spoken on. The Minnesota Phoenix series, again, the shot selection kind of biting Phoenix in the butt right now. And then Dallas, what the heck happened?
No Kawhi, they got smacked. Right.
The Clippers came out to play. I think that one's going to be more like a blowout one game and then another for the other team. It's going to be back and forth that way. But we'll see. We'll see how game two goes tonight for the Clippers, Mavericks, as well as the Pacers, just getting shellacked by Damian Lillard.
Oof, yeah. Yeah.
So he's won every game so far, which is a bit surprising. Because over the past couple of years, the home team, almost on full court, seem to matter less and less over the past couple of years. Maybe we're having a reverse back to the norm, but I just thought that's interesting because
yeah,
by now there's always at least one road team that wins.
It'll happen at some point for sure. But yeah, I'm excited to see how Dallas bounces back or if they're just going to fold and crumble, because I thought they would win this series and we don't know if Kawhi is going to play this next game. I'm also really intrigued on Minnesota Phoenix because like that game wasn't really that close. And
no.
I'm also curious to see if Phoenix can make this a series because it's just one game. And a lot of people would be like, oh, they got killed. They got blown out and write them off to winning the series. But there have been a lot of times in history you get blown out the first game and teams will come back and win the series anyways. So neither of these teams are out of it yet. I'm curious to see how they respond and what they're going to do because, you know, I say you get blown out one game, you still have a chance. But if you get blown out two games, I don't know if you have the fight in you, to be honest. So
each game is a vacuum, you know, within a series. That's why the Lakers game, full circle here, was so demoralizing for L.A., because they had a chance to steal one. That chance is now gone, right? So each game's in a vacuum. You can't overreact too much to one game. But if Minnesota comes out and does the same thing, Frank Vogel might not have a job. Because that's the only thing Phoenix can do, right? They're locked in with this big three. The only scapegoat is the coach. It's always happened. So,
and it's funny because it's not even his fault for the roster construction.
No.
Like, no, what is he supposed to do? You know, play Isaiah Thomas some minutes, right? Little 5'9" IT on the end of the bench for Phoenix. Like, I don't know what they can really do except add a point guard to that team somehow, some way. You know, maybe Chris Paul will come back on a minimum for them in the offseason. I mean, that'd be kind of crazy. But anyways, thank you everyone for listening today. Stay tuned. Come back next week for more stuff on the playoffs. We'll know a lot more about these series as we see these games start to unfold. And until next time.